Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Elkanen.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this Thursday edition of Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. Spencer Israel, Joel Elkanen, Dennis Dick. A lot of news today. Big headline, unfortunately, a headline that maybe wasn't the most surprising, but we got it this morning. Biogen discontinuing their Alzheimer's trial, another in a continuing series of failed attempts to find a cure for that drug. So we're going to talk, or that disease. So we're going to talk about the reactions to that in the market this morning. We also have reactions to the Fed yesterday being exceptionally dovish. We have some earnings reports, and our guest is Mark Chaikin. He would join us at 8:15. Joel, what is the word here in the overnight session?
Trading in the red here. We attempted a rally last night and came up just shy of Tuesday's close, which was 36.50. Lost some momentum, went through the close. We went through yesterday's low, and that's what I'm going to keep an eye on today. Wednesday's low is 17.25. We went through it. We're back above it. You got to respect that support from yesterday. Below there, I see some room down to 2,800, but we'll see if we can get off the mat this morning. Crude makes a new high for the year at 60.33, potential double top. Yesterday's high was 60.28. Today's high, 60.33, down 44 cents at 59.79. Gold in the green by $13.50. That rally started after hours yesterday when we cleared the 13.11 level. I'll look at that as support and maybe a nice target on the upside, those highs at 13.50. Silver in the green as well by nearly 23 cents at 15.55. Well, Triple D, should we call this Benzinga's pre-market prep Biogen show?
Because it's so disappointing. And obviously, I am a long-term Biogen shareholder. I've been in for a long time. I've sold a lot of my position all the way up, so I've only got a piece left, but I said I would hold that piece forever. So the piece that I have this morning is in a world of hurt with Biogen trading down 27% here, 88 points. This is somewhat eventually expected. And just give us the news here, Spencer, and then we're going to jump into the details.
Disappointing day for, like, humanity.
This is a very sad day.
They announced they're discontinuing their phase 3 trial of their Alzheimer's treatment, which had been in the works now for this trial had been in the works for 4 years now, since going back to 2015. So they're discontinuing that. They're unlikely to meet the primary endpoints, which is what led to the decision to discontinue the trial. And that was announced shares were halted. It was announced at 7 a.m. this morning. Shares resumed at around 7:30. And they are down. And we were looking back to the news of the previous trial headlines when that came out. Yeah, it was July of 2018. When they announced the phase 2 results, and we had Adam Feuerstein on our show that day. The date was July 6th. It was a Friday. Dennis, and you said this as well, but so did Adam. He encouraged caution. What happened was they had announced on that day a successful phase 2 study, and Adam came on our show and said, be very cautious. This is no cure has ever really been found for this disease. So while, yes, Biogen has gotten very far in the process, they are not through the tunnel yet. And he urged caution on that day. Yeah. And that day has come to roost today.
I think I said it that day too. And I can't remember exactly what I say from a show from almost a year ago. But I can remember saying, this is 60 points. It eventually might come back out of the stock, because we know these drugs, it's very hard to get an Alzheimer's. Well, it's impossible because it's never been done before. Give us those stats. You were giving me some stats on the pre-show on how many drugs have been tried with Alzheimer's and failed.
All right. So from 1990, let me find them for a second. From 1998 to 2017, there
20
were
years.
146 failed attempts at developing a drug for Alzheimer's disease.
All have failed.
146 failed attempts from 2000 to 2017. About 92 drugs were in development. Companies spent around $600 billion.
Wow.
Trying to develop a drug for this disease, and I believe there were a couple approved for treatment, but they don't do anywhere near what you would want them to do.
$600 billion spent against this disease, and there is just no cure for it yet. It's an awful disease. My grandmother, who's actually 94 years old, has it. And it's amazing how quickly, because she was 90 and she was very, I have a video from her 90th birthday, and she's pretty good. And like, there, and you know, you get older and you start get forgetful, but you have a full conversation. She knew everything that's going on. She's 90, going to be 95 next month. And she doesn't know who anybody is anymore. So it's amazing in 5 years, just, you know, what happens there. So it's very sad. I mean, it's a sad disease. It's a hard to see for the family. I mean, obviously everybody loves their loved ones. And when they don't know you, it's just an awful disease. It kills the brain. So, I mean, I would love to see a cure here eventually for this. We had hopes that, you know, this drug was going to help. The market had hopes for Biogen. That's why you saw a 60-point rise back on July the 6th when they came out with a positive phase 2 trial and moved to phase 3. And it's like, you know, maybe they could get this through. Apparently not, though. So here you are, and now it's down 88 points, so hitting it harder. So I thought it would maybe fall the 60 that it got back on July. Well, it's falling harder. It's falling 90. So this seems a little bit overdone to me, but I'm not coming in here and just going to try to catch the falling knife either. So I've lost a lot of money trying to call the bottoms on stuff, but I still am long some Biogen in my long-term portfolio. I'll be sticking with that. Like I said, I've had it for a decade. I've sold lots of it, so I'm playing completely with the house's money. I'll be holding that probably forever.
And we were also discussing on the pre-market show, Spencer, show the weekly chart there. And boy, Dennis, I guess we're dating ourselves here, but it had news on March 20th, 2015. Do you have that in front of you, Spencer, when the stock went to 480?
That was the all-time high.
Yeah, it was the all-time high. It was the day they announced the interim, the results of the interim phase 1 study, and they were good. So the day it hit the all-time high was, they said they had good results from their phase 1. The day it rallied hard last year was when they said they had good results for the phase 2, and today is that conclusion.
Wow, what a reversal. You know, it's going okay, it's going better. And I wonder what happened during that trial, just to, maybe we'll get the details later.
Yeah,
if we brought on Adam Feuerstein,
he's going to know a lot about this too. Maybe we can get Adam on here next or tomorrow in the next couple of days. He's great when he's on. I mean, we don't know anything about that type of stuff. We can just tell you know, it obviously was up a lot on hopes for this drug. We've seen two huge spikes. One back in March of 2015, and obviously one in July of 2018, and that's all gone now. So this is why stock is down as much as it is, because there was some fluff in there and hopes. I mean, this would be a game changer for Biogen if they would have got this drug through. But apparently now, after all, you know, 4 years of studies and a lot of money sunk into it, it looks like it's not going to work out. So that's why the stock is down as much as it is. Obviously, there's other drugs in the pipeline. This isn't their only drug, but I think at one time, I believe we had Adam Feuerstein or somebody on the show saying this, you know, could be like over 30%, you know, of their revenue, this drug eventually, if it was to come through. And I'm remembering that number, so don't quote me on it, but I kind of remember somebody saying that this is going to be huge. This could have been, you know, out of all the drugs they have, this is going to be the best one if they got it through. But apparently not. So disappointed, you know, not all, obviously only for Biogen shareholders like myself, but also disappointed for everybody who has this awful disease. So,
let's just talk. Dennis, you and I came up with the same number for this one. And this is just a loose guide here, folks, based on past price history, 323.02. We are $7 away from that. That was your low back in June of 2016.
223.
And then,
223.02. I mean, it's come this far, 8 points. Why not test it, right?
And then,
6-year low.
And then in October of 2013, you had a low at 221.07. So there's two monthly lows going back 6 years. You know, if I was short, which I'm not, I would try to bring it in there. No matter what happens, you know, 220, if you want to hold out for a whole number at this point, big volume trading. But those where there's resistance on a rally, I have absolutely no idea. But
yeah. I mean, this is wide open, and this is going to bounce around a lot here. So, you know, it could be 240, 250, it could be 220. It can really go anywhere here. So it's wide open here now. I mean, I'm going to let the dust settle. Give me a couple levels before I start to nibble my toe and to trade it. Like I said, I'm sticking with a long-term investment here, but it's a tough day. And not only, obviously, for Biogen, if you're holding it, but if you've got the IBB, which is a good point Griffin's making in the chat, I mean, it's down significantly. We're down 3.16% on the IBB. Just quickly looking at the math, and stock market's all about math. 7.56% of the IBB is Biogen. So you can go 7.56% times a 28% fall. So 2.3%. That's rough math really quick in my head. But I'd say of IBB, of the 3.16% fall, the majority of it is Biogen. It's probably about 2.3 or 2.4%. If I did that math right quickly in my head. So you're saying the other stocks, the other, you know, biotech stocks are going to be down only roughly 0.7, which is probably right. I mean, they're not going to kill every other biotech stock because Biogen missed, but that's still, they're still going to hit the stocks. And you can look at XBI, and XBI is down 1.5%, and it hardly has any Biogen at all. So also other ETFs to note, if you're trading the XLV, it has 1.87% of IBB. So not that that's a significant amount, but if you take 2% of a 0.25% fall, that means it's got to fall 0.5% just to make up for the Biogen holding. So when you see it down 0.73, it's like, oh, is it really down enough? Because is the rest of the market only going to go down 0.25% when the market itself is down here this morning as well? So, I mean, this is going to be a rough day for a lot of ETFs that are holding Biogen.
Okay. All right. 13 minutes on Biogen here, which we have to discuss. It's the big mover in the markets. Was the Fed a little too dovish yesterday for you, Dennis?
Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Soft, like just weak. And that's why you saw the banks just get hit hard. I mean, they were completely dovish. Everything that was said was dovish. I don't know if you want to give us any highlights there, Spencer, but it's not surprising that the banks get shellacked on that. And if you look, Bank of America, they kind of anticipated it the day before for some reason.
Yeah.
We know the banks turned the day before, and yesterday was a really big beating for the banks. Bank of America closing on the lows continues to go down here this morning. I'm sure Bank of America, full disclosure. It's what paired up, though. Citigroup getting hit here hard. I'm actually long Citi against it, so I got a little pair trade going on there. But those are just overnight pair trades. Overall, I'm hedged with the banks. And there's obviously a lot of other ones trading weak here the last few days too. I mean, Goldman Sachs was 206 2 days ago, 194 closed yesterday. It's trading the 192 handle here today. So giving back a week and a half of gains here in 2 days. We know this happens, and it doesn't look like interest rates are going up anytime soon. And that's not good for the banks.
And guess who covered a small Bank America short before the Fed announcement?
Good job.
I covered it. I don't know. I mean, the market always, you know me, if I think the market's going to rally, I can't be short anything, right? And that was one that was one hell of a rally. And I'm like, okay, Bank, okay, you are part of the S&P 500. Yeah, you are a component. And just the chart on this one is really interesting here. Basically a 28 to 30 trading range since it had to gap up from earnings. So get back down to 28, 27, 86. We'll see if we can hold the gap here. Sure looks like we're probably heading maybe touch $28 today. Once you start to fall into that gap area. And the other thing that just smoked people was the way it blew through that the 29.75 and that app. What was it? The after hours on Tuesday, Dennis. And this is Thursday. And then that maybe Monday night. And then they just, you know, got everybody in. We're breaking out XLF, being financials, and then flushed them down the toilet. So we'll see. Bank of America is a good stock that will, you know, give you a couple lows to lean on. But right now, sure look like we're heading to the low, the post-earnings low, $27.86 for you Bank America traders.
All right, I'm gonna
Eventually you will. $28. Like just like $28. There even. There's multiple lows there. It looks like that's where we're heading. That might be a good area for me to cover if I'm gonna hold on to that
short a little bit longer.
I got Mark in the background, by the way, guys.
That Mark.
I was trying to interrupt.
Mark, in there. We need you.
We're all sad here today. I mean, the Biogen news is devastating, not only for the markets, but for everybody who has this awful disease. It's trading down this morning, 90 points, 87 points here on their failed Alzheimer's. I mean, got to phase three. It's as far as I believe any drug has really gotten. And there was a lot of hopes for it. And now that's gone. What are your thoughts first on Biogen, and then let's just jump into biotechs altogether. What are your thoughts and what are your indicators saying?
Well, let's take a look at Biogen. The power gauge had been bullish, but the stock was in a very well-confined trading range. It's always an issue. Usually it's with the smaller biotechs, so where they've got one stage two trial going on. So this is very disappointing. It's trading below support, obviously. What can you say? At some point, usually it takes about 3 days to work off the selling. So I wouldn't jump in here and buy the
day one
stock. But, you know, my feeling on the big four, which is Amgen, Biogen, it used to be Celgene and Regeneron, or Gilead and Regeneron, you buy them on weakness and you really don't trade them. You buy them for the long term, for stem cell research cures and whatever else they've got in the pipeline. This is clearly disappointing. Not much you can say about it. That's the terminal risk in owning biotechs. But as I say, usually it happens in the big ones.
Yeah, and the smaller ones
get the
headline
ones,
risk.
Right, yeah.
Mark, I completely agree with you. I do a lot of day trading. I do a lot of overnight trading. I'm always cautious with smaller biotech names because you can have the best technical setup in the world and it comes out with some bad news on a drug and that nothing else matters. And usually, like you said, you don't see this extreme of a move in a name this big. I mean, you're talking about potentially the biggest biotech stock that's out there losing 27%. So luckily, I had no position in it overnight, but even the IBB is full of it, 7.5%. It's down over 3% too. So, I mean, it's not just Biogen. It's, you know, the ETFs all taking a hit here too. And obviously probably going to weigh on the sector itself as well. I would doubt you're going to see a lot of biotech names going up here today on this news.
Yeah, well, that's the problem with ETFs. You know, they're great when they're trending up and pulling all boats. But in this case, there are people who've been in the IBB who are just going to sell it, and that's going to pull down all the biotech stuff indiscriminately. There's no hope. But let's not lose perspective. This is a company that's earning close to, I don't know, they were expected to earn, let's say, $28.75 a share this year with great long-term growth. So you don't give up the ship, unfortunately, if you own it. You just got a couple of weeks of pain here as the stock rebuilds, and I don't know what gets it back to the 320 level. It wasn't looking that great, as I'm sure you guys have pointed out. You had this sort of peak trading range at the 330, 340 area, and then a trough at 280, and that's pretty much where it's been trading. So 90 points down is really ugly.
Mark,
One question for me, Dennis, and I'll let you follow up. Could there be any kind of write-down coming down in the pipelines for this? I mean, when you do a big trial like this, you invest all this money, could there be a big, I mean, is the money already spent and gone, or do you think you could see a big potential write-off from Biogen?
I don't know. That's beyond my pay grade. Normally,
it's above all our pay grades.
Yeah, I mean, except for the Kraft Heinz, write-downs don't really affect stocks in the long run because, you know, it's a non-cash item, and the markets tend to discount that. Kraft Heinz was different because, you know, it reflected the fact that the merger and packaged goods in general wasn't working. But if there is a write-down, I think that's, you know, I don't know if they capitalize costs. They may expense costs in the biotech area.
Mark,
you know, the trial costs.
Mark, would you look at other charts of other companies that had discontinued their Alzheimer's drugs, like for reference, like Roche or Bayer or Pfizer or Lilly or Merck, all have discontinued Alzheimer's drug trials in the past decade or so. Would you look at that as a point of reference today?
if you have that capability, that's a very creative idea. I think equally as important is what else does Biogen have in the pipeline? What drugs do they have coming off patent and so forth? So I would view this as a company-specific event, headline risk, as you put it, and just find a level. I mean, this could be one of the great buying opportunities of the decade in this stock, although the decade's drawing to a close. And actually, if you look at a five-year chart, 223 approximately is the five-year low in July of 16. Yeah, I mean, you know what's interesting? If you look at a five-year chart, except for the big breakout in 2015 above the 360 level, this stock has been in a remarkably tight trading range. Looking at the weekly chart, 240 to 360. So here you're going to get an opportunity to buy it under or right at. It's 238 right now, down 82. Maybe you do step in. That sometimes if you take a bigger picture, like I don't normally look at the five-year charts, but now I see why I should. If you can buy this stock at a five-year low, if you're a believer in what else they have, brilliant. And maybe you do step in today if you have a very long-term view.
I mean,
but certainly over the next 3 days, this is now I'm looking at a bigger picture and I'm thinking, wow, this company is everything it has been. You got to buy it down here.
I mean, Mark, it went up 60 points on the positive back in July 6th when they announced the positive trials for this drug. It went from 300 up to 360. So that's a roughly 20% move. Now they're knocking it down at the lows here. They're knocking it down 28%. So they're beating it up more than they rallied it when it went from phase two to phase three, knowing, you know, that this was still going to be a difficult road. This was not a slam dunk by any means. We had Adam Feuerstein on the show that next day, and he said this is really still just a sliver of hope because nobody's ever gotten Alzheimer's drug through. So I believe, you know, that this will be, you know, maybe a marks a bottom here sometime today. I never like jumping on the first day just because sometimes you do see some follow through. So I like what you were saying, you know, to wait a couple of days till the dust settles. But I think eventually you do bounce back from here. I think if I look at Biogen 6 months or a year from now, I think it's going to be higher than 237. And I own this in my long-term portfolio still. So I'm hoping that as well.
But so interestingly, I remember that July period, the stock spiked up, and that was about 5 days ahead of earnings. And then in the earnings report, they talked about the drug trials, and the stock sold off. The earnings were great. It basically sold off from the peak at 360, I think it was closer to 380, on the same news that it rallied on. It's pretty bizarre.
Yeah.
Biotech is tough.
All right, Mark, let's pivot here to the banks. We were discussing them right as you came on there. Fed, pretty dovish yesterday. Banks got hit on that. What's your reaction?
You had what I considered to be an unnatural run-up in the bank stocks, and actually I welcomed it because the NASDAQ Chaikin Large Cap Index, you know, that underlies the ETF, is very heavily concentrated in financials. But last week and then Monday, you had real, what I would call unnatural strength in the banks. Why? Because interest rates were not going up. They were going flat to down ahead of the Fed meeting. So I think there must have been I asked a couple of people, Dan Russo, who you've had on, our chief market strategist, I said, what's driving the banks? Nobody knew. And it could only have been anticipation that something in the Fed statement would be good for the banks, maybe boost interest rates when there was no news of potential rate hikes and talking about a rate cut. And then when they just reaffirmed everything, including the balance sheet runoff stopping in September, actually a little more definitive than people had been talking, I think the profit taking just set in. And you're also looking at the stock market in terms of the S&P 500. Having broken above the 2820 resistance area, but not really. And so you're in a situation where the markets rallied 20% from the lows. Financials did a very fast catch up last week into Monday, but the chart still looks awful, unfortunately, on the XLF. when I say awful, it's nowhere near its peak in July or September, and it didn't break out above the November peak. So really lagging the market still, and I think that's what you're seeing. You're just seeing the reality of where interest rates are likely to be rest of the year into 2020.
I mean, I agree with you. Financials have been an underperformer here for the last couple of years, really, when you look at the charts. I mean, we're significantly off the highs. Wells Fargo, $66, its high back in January of 2018, so just over a year ago, it's now $49. Bank America has come back a lot more, but still off its highs as well, from 33 down to 28. Goldman, not even close to where it was. It was up at the 275 areas, trading 192. So the financials have definitely lagged the overall market. They were starting to show the life, but again, if interest rates aren't going up anytime soon, and sure it sounded like that from when I was listening to the Fed there yesterday, it can't be good news for the banks.
Especially the big money center banks, because they're equally affected by the global economic softness as they are by whatever strength we have here in the United States. So, sometimes with interest rates stable, you get the banks doing well because loan demand, and you know what margins are going to be, but margins are coming under pressure here, and that's not good for the banks.
What else are you looking at, and what else are you watching here lately? Are you seeing some trends like some of these stocks and some of the tech stocks especially? I mean, I look at an Apple, and it's been on a tear. We look at FANG, and money is just flying back into FANG. I mean, Amazon is up 100 points here in 5 trading sessions. Netflix took off yesterday and blasted off, was up over 15 too. I mean, you're seeing a lot of money come back into the stocks that were leaders in the beginning of 2018. We know at the end of 2018 they were hitting these stocks, but they're back.
Well, I think this is a function of the enormous amount of money on the sidelines, not just from individual investors, but from institutional investors tied to volatility type trades or, the more mechanical quant trades. And so the money has to come off the sidelines. The models are telling them they've got to be long equities. The models are telling them they've got to be risk on. So where do they go? They go to the big liquid names that they know, and where they were the top 10 holders in 2018. So I think, in a sense, although we've been very bullish and the close above 2820 is positive, we're in a corrective stage here. And I wouldn't place a lot of bullish optimism on the fact that the FANG stocks and Apple are moving up. I think it's a function of what I just referred to. Money on the sidelines and the big institutional quantitative models coming back in, which they had to do. And it could be sort of a bell ringer on a very short-term basis for the rally.
All right, that's a nice positive note to end this on. Thanks for the bullishness, Mark.
No, well, let's not end it then. No, we've been very bullish, you know that.
Yes, that's true.
It's time to take a little money off the table. That's why we're looking at
a nice run
of stocks. Yeah, we're looking at conservative stocks like Abbott Labs, like CBRE, the old CB Richard Ellis. Intel has been a leader. I think you've got to pick and choose here. I'm not a big fan of jumping into the FANG stocks. Apple, we'll have to see. Obviously, there's a shift toward the subscription business. The Wall Street Journal did opt in to their new streaming news service where they have to pay them 50%, but no other major news source has opted in. So it's not proven yet that this is a strategy that has legs. And we have a neutral rating on Apple. We had a bearish rating, but it went above our long-term trend line. So I'm wait and see on Apple. If you look at the chart, there's nothing to get excited about. It dropped from 230 to 140. That's 90 points. You've rallied back roughly a 618 retracement to the 190 level. I can't get excited about that. Although money flow is good, it still hasn't started to outperform the market on a 6-month basis. So I'm waiting.
All right. Mark Chaykin has been on with us. He joins us every other Thursday. He's the founder of Chaykin Analytics. Mark, as always, thank you so much for the insights, and we'll see you in a few weeks.
That's great. Have a good trading day, guys.
All right. See you, Mark. 8:31 here, Joel. Any movement at all in the market? Are we still kind of weighing? Still kind of weighing down this morning.
Leaking.
It's leaking. Yep, it's leaking here. We have taken out the lows at 17.25. I'm looking for the 5-day low here. I mean, I'm just giving you these. These are just daily lows. They're not double bottoms or anything. A daily low at 12.50. Another daily low at 8.50. But at this point, we're at 28.15. I mean, how can they not get this to, you know, 2,800 or at least, you know, test the waters there? You have a little bit of weekly support here at 2,800. And I just want to go back to something that I talked about last week. And I talked about, you know, the quad wedge expiration and how a lot of times that could be turning points in the market. You certainly had that with your December expiration with the market bottom. So, you know, I'm going to stick with that small wager that I had with you, and I'm going to stick with this 28.40.50. That's been the high close in the move here. So, I mean, just, you know, early indications here. Well, I mean, it's only a couple days into the new contract here, but I really, from a bullet for to get me really bullish, we got to get this market back over 28.40.50. And not only get back above it like on a daily basis, but have two or three closes over that. Or I think we're looking at maybe perhaps a little bit of a 3-month down cycle.
I mean, we've had a hell of a run. So you do have to put that in perspective. And obviously, I've got the long-term bet with you. I still think we're going to be at all-time highs by June. So I think, you know, it's going to be opposite. I think we're going to see a pullback here.
Right.
Another little correction, which is what we need. Maybe a couple days. We saw it for 4 days there a couple weeks ago. And they bought that. I don't see any reason why they don't buy that again, because I still think there's a lot of money on the sidelines. I don't think we're in a whole, you know, a lot of trouble here right now. Eventually, we're going to get a trade deal, which could help propel the market again, because the market seems to have completely forgot that. Obviously, we still need to deal with China. So there's lots of catalysts here still. I mean, yeah, uh-huh. You can take the other side and say, oh, what if we don't get a deal? Or what if, you know, there's going to be more bad news coming? But we're through earnings season. Earnings were decent. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't see a lot of catalysts really to take us down here either. So maybe we do meander here for a little bit. I mean, the market's got some work. It can't just go straight up. So, and obviously we've seen rotation taking us higher, but I'm not taking the bull hat off here. I think on the pullbacks here, I think it's an opportunity to start getting more exposed, because I don't see a big corrective phase coming here. Not, this is my opinion.
That's what makes the markets. And
yeah,
I just wanted to mention too here, it's funny, like when stocks get into these wild, you know, wild movements, you know, we went to the monthly charts. We mentioned 223 and then talking Biogen here. Mark gave that exact number. Buy the dippers are coming. I just looked at the short interest here, and it doesn't have a big short interest of only 7%. But I mean, if you are short this thing, or if you have 300 puts or something, you know, you're waking up here to a big windfall.
Well, so, the 300, let's just, you know, and obviously we don't know, like there's no date on this stuff. So, you know, there's a lot of anticipation. You know, there eventually could be an announcement like this, but you don't know when it's coming. So Biogen 300, but just curious, you know, and there's obviously going to be some.
I bet you it was still expensive.
So March is off the board now. We got to go, unless those are the weeklies. Is there weeklies on Biogen?
I'm just pulling up that platform.
Anyways, let's go out to April. Let's go out to April.
Yeah, go out to April.
We'll go out to April and see if you were saying, you know, you had 300 puts for whatever reason. 300 puts look like they were trading for, there wasn't hardly any open interest even here, Joel. I'm just trying to quickly look at it there. The open interest is nothing. Nobody had these. Open interest was 3 contracts.
Oh, really?
There's nobody.
Well, I just want to know. I'm more interested in... I'm just more interested where the closing price was. I'm pulling up my platform.
It was $10. It had closed at $1.20. It was 10 cents bid at $2.50.
Oh, yeah.
No market at all.
Yeah,
there was no market. I mean, there was no event, so there's not a lot of options. Traders going to be trading around it because this is just, you know, random announcement. So there's no like, oh, we're going to find out. So there's no event premium built into that. So it looks like there's nobody making money on options. I don't see any open interest at all.
Okay. All right.
But if you're one of those with the 3 contracts, congratulations. Your $1 put is now worth $80.
So all right.
For 70 for 65.
And if you're short it,
sorry for you.
Okay.
This is one thing, though, why it's hard to write options on biotech stocks. because
events
can happen. Random news happens in biotech stocks all the time. It's the one reason, even as a day trader and an overnight trader, I'm always cautious. I'm always somewhat smaller on my individual biotech positions because, you know what? Something can happen overnight, a bad drug or anything, and the things can fall significantly. You think, oh, Biogen, how far can it fall? I mean, this was still in the cards too. When you see a stock rally 20%, on the prospects that, you know, we're going from phase 2 to phase 3, you know, it's probably going to fall 20% if it fails. It's falling even more, being down 26%. But what, you know, they gave you that gift, or, you know, and ended up being a gift, I guess, to shareholders there when they went from phase 2 to 3 and the stock went from 300 to 360, and they're taking it back here today, and they're taking it back even harder.
Well, we got some earnings. You want to cover some earnings?
Dennis, it's been a few days since we had a retailer up 10%. It's not quite up 10% this morning, but G3 Apparel is up 8% last I checked.
It's always one that's 20. Is there one down 20 or up 20? Guess would be the potential.
I guess it's down
13. So it has potential to be down 20. So that's our prime candidate to continue to fall if you're thinking you're going to have the 20% rule, which is my own rule, that there's always a retailer when they're reporting one up 20 or one down 20 every single day. So Guess is your prime candidate. Apparently up 9. I don't think it's going up 20, so I'd have a long ways to go from here, so it's not the candidate. But what a consolidation period, Joel. I coming into this, I mean, we're 2 months going nowhere here, and now all of a sudden you're breaking out, so maybe there is room to 40.
I'll give your pre-market high stands at 39, right on the kisser. Interesting area. You got a gap fill from December, and that gap fill takes you out to 39.27. So that's an area of interest here. It's $1.27 away. The close on the day that you did have that 39.27 low was 40.76, and the next day down to 34.91. So I'm sure a lot of people looking and liking to see $40 here in this one. Got to get through 39 first.
Jump over back to last night. The big one that reported that brought up all the semis was Micron. And if you were looking at any of the chips last night in the semiconductors, they were all trading significantly higher. Now that the market has went down today, a lot of those have turned around. But Micron is still holding on to the gains. Give us the results here, Spencer. I do own this in my long-term portfolio. I sold half, but I've still got half the position on.
All right, Micron. Well, we got a lot of headlines on Micron yesterday. Let me get you the earnings here. Q2 adjusted EPS, $1.71 versus $1.67. Sales of $5.84 versus $5.82 billion. So a slight beat on both the Q2 EPS and sales numbers. Let's see. I know they gave guidance on the conference call. They cut their fiscal year CapEx guidance. What else did they say? They say their Q3 sales guidance at around $4.8 billion versus a $5.3 billion estimate. That was for the Q3 sales, the Q3 adjusted EPS guidance. Range of 75 to 95 cents is what they gave versus a $1.23 estimate. So light quarterly guidance there for Micron. The stock was down on that. So,
yeah, it's actually chopped around for a long time until they came out and later in the conference call, and then it started to get a lift and continued to rise there. We actually were up over $42 last night, so we're off the highs a little bit. We got to $43.99. I'm looking at that high back on February 25th. I mean, it's going to be wild. So it's not out of the realm that it could get up there. I don't know which way it's going to go, though. It could end up getting it back here, too. So I think it's more of a coin flip here. I'm sticking with the long-term position. As a trade, I have no idea. This could go anywhere.
Okay. It had a nice pop in the after hours. Give you your after hours high. That comes in to 42 handle at 42.24. You've backed off 75 cents from them. So that's your first target on the upside here. If you're looking for more than that, let me see. Let me go to the daily levels. And I'll just call 42.66. That splits a pair of highs from late February and early March. So good report from Micron here. I do see a little support here in the pre-market trading coming in at 41.12. And I just want to see how this looks from yesterday's range. Oh, you got a ways to go down to 41. I mean, you might get a look at it today. The last two highs, 41.05, 40.75. So 41, if we go to reverse, I think that's a level that has to hold.
Citigroup does downgrade the stock to sell today, so that might be weighing on it too, because it was up over $42. And then obviously this morning we get the Citi news downgrading it to sell. I'm not sure if that's a valuation call or what that is. They obviously didn't like something they heard in the earnings to come out to a sell. Not hitting the stock that hard here this morning, and it's traded a ton of volume. Already traded 1.2 million shares here this morning, so this thing is trading. We had a lot of chips that were trading up. Western Digital was trading up significantly with this last night. WDC is still up. It was up over 48 last night on this. It's trading around 47.59 here. You saw AMD was trading up with it last night too, but AMD has turned around and started going down. And then you've also got NVIDIA. I mean, you can look at, well, all the chips. You can just look at SMH if you want to just look at SMH. And it's trading higher here too, just slightly though now. Market weighing on the sympathy moves. But last night, all the chips were higher.
Yeah, I mean, money's got to go to somewhere, right? If it's coming out of the financials, if it's coming out of, yeah, it's all going to Apple. It's all going
Apple,
to Apple.
Interesting. Let's talk Apple right now. 190. I mean, we're right there right now. We got up there yesterday at 189.49. We are trying 190 here. I got to think first time, 190's got to be a little bit thick once we get through the regular session. So I highly doubt that Apple's going to open over 190. It's a NASDAQ stock, so there isn't like the book, you know, presence that there is with NYSE that you can see, you know, what's going to happen here at the open. It's just showing you what is in the active book there right now in the pre-market. I don't see anything there, but I would think you got some institutional size at 190. Let's see what it does there, if it can get up over 190 or if it fails there.
Yeah, overall, you know, I was looking at the overall weakness in the market. So, of course, I picked on Apple with a small short position. Of course, the market down nearly 0.4%. Apple up 1%. I did not look at how many upgrades did it get? Did or price target raises? I did not check it out in the pro, but you know, we'll see what happens. Very small position. I'm 191 was my area of pain.
Who's upgrading it today?
Oh man, who's doing it, Spencer? I don't know. Do you have your pro up?
I'm on mute. I do have my pro up. Needham is upgrading to Apple. Apple had a strong buy this morning, raising their price target to 225. Wedbush is maintaining their outperform, raising their price target to 215. Citigroup also maintaining their buy, raising their price target to 220.
And it's chasing price like crazy on this. All late to the party. Way late to the party. $140, $142 at the beginning of the year. $190 now. If you're coming and buying Apple now, you're doing it wrong, in my opinion. I own Apple. I'm sticking with it because I've had it the whole time in the long-term portfolio. But I think you are way late to the party here on Apple. It's due for a pullback. And maybe this is going to be one of those days where you get three analysts getting bullish and makes a top happen. Yeah, but I'm not a fan of the analysts coming in here now. You know, we watched the thing rally 20 points in the last week and a half, and now you're upgrading it? Give me a break. Way late to the party. Now, can it continue? Sure, the trend's still your friend. It can still continue to go higher, but I just think you're late to the party if you're coming in here now.
Okay. All right. Just traded 190.07, up $1.91. So we'll keep an eye on this day. We'll keep an eye on the high from this day, the low from this day, and the closing price. So up $1.92, and of the top components in the index, the top 11, that's the only one to show in any green. So we'll keep an eye on it. ExxonMobil's flat, but it's probably up or down.
Jump over, just might as well do the rest of the ratings. Here we got Gordon Haskett is busy here this morning, Spencer. They got an upgrade on Target. Upgrade on multiple stocks here, actually. Maybe just quickly give us some highlights here from ratings land.
Gordon Haskett is upgrading Wayfair. This is a new one, to accumulate. I'm not quite sure what that means. I guess like you should accumulate stock in your portfolio. Upgrading FND to accumulate as well. Upgrading Tractor Supply to buy. Dollar Tree upgrade to buy. BJ's Wholesale upgrade to buy. They downgraded Sprouts Farms to reduce and Nordstrom to reduce as well. So I guess
they don't have a lot of influence. So just keep that in mind. You're not going to see some crazy moves on this, but every analyst upgrade downgrade does affect the stock. Also ConocoPhillips getting upgraded at Piper here this morning. So that's significant as well. I mean, oil has been performing well this year. We know oil's been straight up basically in 2019. And ConocoPhillips is kind of just sat here, not done a hell of a lot of anything. So interesting, you know, because ExxonMobil's been straight up. Chevron's been straight up. That ConocoPhillips chart has gone nowhere. Isn't that interesting? Like, look.
Yeah.
You're $64 start the year. You're $67 here now. Why is Conoco lagged so much? Maybe it didn't go down as much as the other ones did. Or I guess it came back in January. I guess we did get down, you know, early January. I guess we were, you know, got down at like 58, 59. But man, it just it's underperformed.
Yeah, it surely has. Not seeing a ton of movement here in it's COP, correct? Is that the correct symbol? Yeah. Boy, I'd have to keep an eye on here on 68.50. That's been the recent high, or is that 68.50? Yeah, 68.50 is your two-day high. So they get it through that. I mean, it kind of looks like a clean breakout, but that's still a buck away from here. Are they bidding it up on this, Dennis?
Yeah, it's bid up. 67.67 bid. It's offered 68, but not up much, but you've also got, you know, we know it trades with oil and oil's trading down, so that's going to weigh on it as well too, but it's been up a bit.
Okay. I just saw that, the Snap CFO is now going to be the CFO at Ford Motors.
What?
I just saw that news. I'm not making it up. The former
CFO is going to Ford Motors.
Yeah.
Oh, Bob Shanks has been on our show before. He's retiring. So, yeah, the CFO of Ford is Bob Shanks retiring, and then Tim Stone is succeeding him.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about Caesars? And
good call, Dennis.
We haven't talked it yet. I did buy this in my investment portfolio a few days ago. I bought it 8.25, and the reason is just I'm speculating that there could actually be a deal here. Icon's in there pushing around. We know there's rumors that they might get together with Eldorado. It might turn into nothing, but it's not like it gapped up huge on this either. So it's not like you're buying fluff. So I think even if it doesn't turn out, I don't know if it's going under $8. So I kind of like the risk reward. CZR has news here overnight, though. Give us that news.
Well, Spencer. Yeah. And one of the things, you know, I think we had talked about this also is when Carl gets into a stock, you can expect headlines because, you know, because he talks. So the headline from the New York Post this morning is that he may partner with Tillman Fertitta, who owns Houston Rockets and the Golden Nugget Casino, to potentially make a takeover play here. Or bid for Caesars. So you know when Carl's in a name. Headlines are coming.
Clorox. Remember how many times I'm going to take Clorox private.
Brace yourself because headlines are coming.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, we're dating ourselves a bit here. But I mean, Carl, Uncle Carl, you're right. Talks is bulk better than anyone. So is he planning on taking Caesars private? Probably not. I think he's probably just trying to stir the pot. And if Eldorado is interested, he's trying to get that kick started here and saying, oh, maybe I'll buy it. So it's, you know, a little bit of, you know, playing around and trying to obviously get interest here and to get the stock taken over. He wants to get taken over. Macquarie has said they think Eldorado might pay as much as $10 to $14. I don't know where the premium could go on this if it does get taken over. I just don't see a hell of a lot of, like, you know, obviously if the company fundamentals deteriorate, there's downside, but it's not like in a case where, you know, a stock has a rumor, it pops 10% and then you're buying it up 10% and the rumor doesn't materialize and it falls 10%. This never really popped much on the rumors. So of Eldorado, and actually RBC has commented on here as well. And they said, I'm just trying to go grab it too. This was JP Morgan. They were saying that Eldorado shares could be worth as much as $72 to $80 if they buy Caesars. So they actually think the acquirer might go way up there too. Eldorado symbol is ERI, if you're interested in that one too. But I don't. There could be a deal. We haven't seen a casino deal in so long. I'd like to see one. I'd like to see this one because I obviously bought Caesars. So I'm playing it for the speculation that I think it's in play here. And I think there could be something. So that's why I'm in CZ Brewer.
Okay. You got a little pop. You're trading up 21 cents at 8.58. So the nice little move in the pre-market. I don't know. Let's see how high did we get. We got to 8.63 on the original surge. It's just not a lot to talk about this from a technical perspective. I would say, man, 8.75 is your gateway all the way to 9. So above 8.75, 9, of course, if a deal breaks, then all levels are off the table. We'll see what Uncle Carl could do. But you know what? He hasn't been on CNBC in a long time.
Yeah. Well, we were saying he was quiet for a bit there. He had a little lull, but now he's starting to get active again. So maybe we're going to see him on CNBC soon. It's always fun when he's on CNBC. He's the only one that cusses on live TV.
And it's, you know, it's interesting too. I noticed that, on days when the market's down, you know, it seems like we get better attendance at the show. When the market's going up, no one, you know, really cares. But sometimes,
The bears come out of their caves.
I don't know. Let's finish up with earnings. William Sonoma, that's all over the place. Spencer, do you have that report?
Oh, I gave it all back.
Yeah.
This was up huge last night. Yeah, give us the numbers.
Yeah, yesterday they reported Q4 adjusted EPS of $2.10 versus $1.97 estimate. So a big beat on that number. Sales $1.83 versus $1.8 billion. So it beat on both the Q4 numbers. They also raised their quarterly dividend from 43 cents to 48 cents a share. They added $500 million to their buyback plan, and they gave guidance as well. The fiscal year EPS guidance came in higher than estimates by a range of 20 to 40 cents, and their fiscal year sales guidance was also higher than estimates. So a good report across the board, top to bottom, plus a buyback and a dividend raise.
They did everything in their power to try to drive their share price up, and it worked for about an hour. And look how high it got there. Show the after hours.
You don't even want to know, Dennis.
This thing was up in the 63s. I saw it.
63?
Yeah, where'd it get?
I don't want to tell you that it
where
was.
Did it get? Where did it get?
65.34.
Got to $65. And if you're chasing that up near those November of 2018 highs, you're being punished immediately here because this stock is now only up 65 cents. Giving it all back. So, and I don't even really see a catalyst here. It just started leaking. And it got down like 60, like one. And I was looking at this. I was like, oh man, this is already coming off significantly off the highs. And I was like, you know, looking at it thinking, well, maybe this could be one that gives it back, or maybe this is going to be there. So I was like, I didn't trade it. It was just too wild. But anyways, unbelievable. Goes up $65 last night on a great report and then gives it all back on the great report. Crazy.
You want to hear something? I wish you could have been, keeping an eye on this one. 600,000 shares traded in that bracket when it went to 65.34.
Yikes.
600.
Well, I got to think on that bracket, there may have been a cross or something, Joel.
You think so?
I didn't see that kind of volume last night, no. Maybe that was some cross from the close that throws it out. And just, you know, for people who don't understand that, you have closing crosses that come in after hours at late reports, and they might have closed up they might have just been crossing a big chunk at the closing price. And then that volume would be added to that bracket if that cross hit during that time. It might not necessarily be. So I didn't see that kind of, like, I saw some volume, but I didn't see like a 600,000 up there. So I don't think they had 600,000 people buying up at 65. Or 600,000 shares being bought up there. I don't know for sure because I didn't look at it that closely, but I'd imagine it didn't. I'd imagine it was some type of cross. So.
Okay. All right. Anyways, you came quickly down here in William Snow, but still trading up a stick. Let's just look at yesterday's range as a reference. We're trading at yesterday's high, 57.82. So if you're in the old resistance, new support camp, there you go. Opening in, not even buying this on a gap fill. The only problem is if you do not hold that area, you're looking at the close from yesterday at 56.85. And that was flanked by Tuesday's close at 56.74. So Williams Sonoma, a pop and a drop so far. We'll see if it can recover.
We got 5 minutes left here, so if there's any tickers you want to cover, let us know. I'll give you a quick look at imbalances here. 80,000 to sell in Alibaba. That's starting to look a little bit toppy again. Jumping over, your banks are weak. Bank of America, 142,000 to sell. JP Morgan, 69,000 to sell. Citigroup, 42,000 to sell. We know the follow through here today is making those weak. I'm just trying to jump around here and see what else I see from imbalance land.
Wow, look at this consolidation in Alibaba. Look at this for the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 sessions. You've been basically a trading range from, 178 and change to 183. That 83 was a blip when it went to 83.36. So please note that consolidation here in Alibaba.
Consolidation station.
Yeah, very rare here. Dennis, I saw this earlier in the chat here, and Frank S. is asking about it too. Did you catch Kramer's rant on Tesla?
Last night, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really talked it down. I mean, and he's been saying, and he's got this right. I mean, Tesla, I agree with this on Tesla. He's like, the biggest issue with Tesla is Musk. I mean, but he's also the person that's made it all happen. We just don't know what he's going to say next. You know, he thinks he's obviously above the SEC with the commentary he's given before. And are they going to kick him? Are they going to kick him out of the company? I mean, there's a huge risk there that they could happen, and he thinks it could happen as well. He thinks it would actually be good for the stock, but I don't know if I agree with that. You know, this is the wild card, and I still have Tesla. There's a lot of wild cards in Tesla, and that's why it's a half position, and I think about it all the time. I mean, I have, you know, more money in like 90 of my other stocks, and this Tesla one is the one that keeps me up at night. So, I mean, and I just got back in it, but like I said, when I'm not in it, I want to be in it. When I'm in it, I don't want to be in it, and it's like a stock that I just can't seem to handle. But anyways, it's because it moves 4 or 5% every day on really nothing, but I still believe in the story, but you know, he's basically saying that, you know, with what's been done here, there's a good probability that a judge could come in and say, look, you got to come off the board, you got to get out, you know, and stop running this company. And that could happen. It could happen.
Dennis, I have a stock for you, but it's not Tesla, but sorry, Joel, to cut you off there if you wanted to add to that.
That's okay. No, go ahead.
Dennis, you're going to buy Levi Strauss today, right? At $17.
So this is out today, $17?
That's what they're pricing it at, $17.
Holy. All right, I don't know what's going to happen here, short run. You know, this thing traded. Where was the pricing range on LEVI?
Where was the range? Great question.
It was lower. It's trading way, it's going to open
yeah,
way
the, above the range. The range was 14 to 16. So yeah, it's oversubscribed. Shocker.
Yeah, it's oversubscribed to everything, but is this like your growth tech company that you want to come and invest in? I don't know. Maybe they've reinvented themselves and are they tech genes? Do they do stuff? Or is this the same genes that were out 100 years ago? Like what is this all about? I haven't followed the story closely enough. Is this literally just the blue jean company and there it's nothing else? Just the same Levi Strauss blue jeans that have been out there for 100 years?
165 years.
165 years. And we're going to bring
get
Levi.
Get your facts straight. Get your facts straight.
Sold to you.
I want to know. You know, could this thing go 18, 20? It could do anything. These things are crazy on the IPO. I think when I look at LEVI from, you know, looking at it, and I haven't done a valuation or anything on this right now, but I don't see this as a story stock that's going to be carried higher because of blue jeans. So I think there's a lot better places for my money. So not interested in LEVI.
Just for Gone Fishing here, asking about DocuSign here. And this stock has had a really nice run. It was wild off its IPO. Just made a recent high in the move of 59.62, and it's backed off a little bit. But, you know, it's had a lot of runs up and little pullbacks like this. I don't have an exact number at 54. But I see a 53.81 low, a 54.30 low, 54.40. So, you know, if you're trying to protect some profits on it, 54 is the level to keep an eye on here. Could be some more downside. Nice run up, though, in DocuSign.
And remember,
and, I'm sorry, Spence, go ahead.
Remember what Eve Bobach said a couple of weeks ago on our show. IPOs tend to take years to outperform, right? Just the secular trend that she observed in her research is that IPOs tend to underperform for years.
Because everybody overpays off the hop.
Yeah, for years afterwards. So just keep
you know, logic says when you're, you know, paying way more than everybody else is paying, you know, and sometimes these things get lifts, but, and some of them work out. I mean, there's in some cases you can get in some deals, but I mean, usually, you know what it is, people want to obviously get, you know, a piece that they can. And we know the lift one is going to be way oversubscribed to. It's going to be huge. But again, you know, if you're buying these things on the first day, I mean, even the Facebook one, let's look at Facebook. It IPO'd 42. And like, what was it? Like 3 months later, it was $18. So, you know, here was one that, you know, obviously was going to be, and I'm just going to go out to the Facebook just to try to find those. Well, you got to go way the hell back. But anyways, so it was IPO'd back in 2012 at $42. And if you looked at it 3 months later, it was down in the teens. So people tend to overpay these things for a while. We know Facebook turned out to be a great one, but sometimes it's best to let the dust settle, let all the people who are excited that got to be in off the hop get in. And eventually you get a pullback in these things, and maybe sometimes if you really like the company, that's your opportunity. Sometimes they get back down to the price where they were where they were priced originally, because these underwriters sometimes know where the things should go. And then they, you know, they come off and they end up, you know, trading, you know, 30% higher than where they were originally going to be priced for. They keep jacking it up. And in the case of Facebook, it was the same thing. It was originally going to get priced, I think it was like 26 or 28 bucks, ends up getting priced at 42 because there's so much demand because everybody has to have it. And that ends up being a huge overpay. So you got to really be careful with buying these things on day one.
All right, Spencer, you want to wrap things up here on the March 21st edition of Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep?
Sure. On tomorrow's show, I think we're going to be joined by Todd Gordon, who has – it's been a while for Todd. Todd's a fan favorite.
I watched him on CNBC yesterday. He was Polish Amazon.
Oh. You know what? We may have him on tomorrow. He's moving office in Saratoga. But I usually don't have the sound on, but I had it on. I like Todd, and he was, you know, talking about buying these stocks, and he said he's not in them yet. He gave some Fibonacci projections. So I sent him an email, and I said, Todd, can you come on the show on Friday and help me buy Netflix, Google, and Amazon? I go, I said, because I'm afraid of heights. And he said he laughed out loud on the train. So hopefully –
Potentially on tomorrow's show. But if you missed any part of today's show, you can catch our podcast, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Podcasts. Thanks to our guest, Mark Chaykin. Thanks to all of you in our chats on YouTube and premarket.benzinga.com. Please remember, everything we say on our show is for informational purposes only and not meant to be investing advice. Everyone, have a good rest of your day.
Spencer, can I say one thing?
Yeah, go.
Go blue. I think I'm going to start – should I start a Michigan streak?
Great
should
call.
I see how many consecutive days – this has nothing to do with them in the tournament. But should I see how many consecutive days I can wear Michigan apparel on the show?
No, don't do that.
No?
No. But also, thank you for mentioning that. Good luck to all of you in your brackets today.
I did a bracket too here, Joel.
Good job.
Who'd you take?
I had to go with Mount Zion. I took Duke. Okay. I mean, everybody's going to take Duke.
I know.
Who's going to beat that guy? Like, that guy's incredible. Who's beating him?
I have Joel, you're going to hate me. Joel's going to hate me. But Joel, in one bracket, I picked State to beat Duke. I know you're going to hate me for it, but I did it. So
I mean, you can find a new job, Spencer.
I will. How about that?
All right, man. Sports. They don't like sports in the chat. Oh, no, but JJ Bud.
That's fine. Okay. All right, everyone, have a good day, and we'll see you tomorrow when all our brackets are in shambles. Have a good one.